Good evening.
Good evening.
I assume it's just you, correct?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. Do you want to go start or do you want to wait?
I guess start. Okay.
Malka.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'll be saying the L'shem Yehud, and then we will start with verse 256 from section 25 of Parasha Lech Lecha from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. L'shem Yehud, good Shabbos, who is she in David, he lu urchimu, he lu rukimu urchimu. The Yachta, L'shem, Yud Hei Bovate, the Yehuda, Shalim L'shem Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La sok Torah mitzvah. La hino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu ba'asei yadeinu kananei aleinu ba'asei yadeinu kananehu. Wehu kohen le'el elyon v'ishtetach kola v'ishlimu ila'a v'ikach hazeh v'ichazah v'matiyachai avaya. Av de pekimu be alma umane birkan hake name begin zakain yatyan birkan be alma uginayu it barkan o bene alma. The translation: and he was the priest of the Most High El, means that everything has reached full supernal perfection, as it ought to. That refers to the perfection of Bina, which is called the Most High El. This teaches us that just as the sinners bring damage upon the world and prevent blessings from reaching it, so the righteous bring blessings to the world. And for their sake, all the people of the world are blessed as well. My commentary: with Rabbi Ashlag's comments, this pasuk is clear as red. It's teaching a very significant blessing, significant spiritual law, which we refer to in the Kabbalah as the boomerang law. What you do comes back to you. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, we used to refer to it as what you sow, you reap.
Very well said.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we have Melchizedek and Abraham to thank for it, though, that it was their action that brought it into, into place for us.
Well, in earlier generations around Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they just knew these spiritual laws intuitively. But as we fell spiritually, the Zohar was necessary to come into the world to teach us these spiritual laws. And that's why we need to study the Zohar in our generation, because not only did we need to have the spiritual laws, but we needed to know how to bring them into our life.
Well, I thought that was real interesting yesterday with the advanced reincarnation, to know that when Adam fell into the Klipot, the whole human race fell into the Klipot, and to see what had to happen before soul could even come out right at first. You know, the three guests that attached to them, I think that's the way the It was written.
The way it was written is that in order for the Quipote to release a soul, they have to become the Ormaquif, the surrounding light for something else. And until that happens three different times, representing three different levels of incarnation, they can't come out on their own. They can't become inner lights. They can only be outside of the bodies. It's a very interesting process.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I even try to remember it clearly.
Well, that seems a long way from where we are to this verse. It seemed like a lot had to take place.
The first person was Hanoch ben Yared. Prior to that, the first six generations were just people that had fallen into the Klipot, and they couldn't come out on their own. They had to be reincarnated into surrounding light, into various levels. Mm-hmm. Should I go on?
If it's okay with Malta, it's okay with me. I mean, you can all think of a lot of scriptures, you know, like righteousness exalteth the nation, and good overcomes evil, and a little light sheds on darkness. I mean, there's so many things that, you know, you could bring into it, but I think it's okay to go on.
Okay. Martha, do you have any questions?
No, sir. I'm pretty much going to mute because I'm driving.
Understood. Verse 257. Vayiten lo maser mikol mai maser mikol meinun birkan denavke mikol begin deihu. Atar de kol birkan denachate lialma mitaman nafke davar acher vaiten lo baser mikol tuchabrichu yahavleya maasra umanihu. Da darga de kol pitchin din hen uta uvir kan lealma beya kaime bihu maser lihu chad measara bihu asara mimea mikan uhala Al Avraham Bakiuma Dilela Kika Kaze Amarleya Brabi Elazar Shapirka Amarta. The translation. What is the meaning of, and he gave him a tithe of all? It means that Malchizedek gave him those blessings that issue from all, which is Yesod. This means that Malchizedek, who is the Nukva, received the tithe, which is the secret of the blessings, from Yesod, and passed them on to Abraham. Why from the Yesod? Because this is the place from which all blessings that reach the world originate. Another explanation of the words, and he gave him a tithe of all, is that it was the Holy One, blessed be he, who gave Abraham the tithe. And what is the tithe? It is a grade where all the gates of faith and the blessings of the world are established. It is 1 out of 10 and 10 out of 100. Namely, Malchut, which during her immature state has no other Sephirah, but Keter. And this Sephirah is but 1 out of the 10 Sephirot of Zeranpin. But during her stage of maturity, Malchut has 10 complete Sephirot. And then she is 10 out of 100 Sephirot of Zeranpin. And the Holy One, blessed be He, gave this grade to Abraham. From this point on, Abraham's existence became firmly established from above, which means that he merited full conception forever. Rabbi Elazar said to him, "You have spoken well." My commentary. What this is saying is that Abraham was given 10% of the energy that flows into the world goes to the children of Israel. They went to Abraham and then to Isaac and then to Jacob and then to the 12 sons. But essentially, it's not a equal sharing of energy in the world, because there would be 70 nations, the energy should be divided into 1/70th. But it's not. It's divided 10% to the children of Israel, and the 90% is divided among the 70 nations. So you can see another source for anti-Semitism, because it's a form of jealousy. Questions, comments, thoughts?
But doesn't it also sort of mean that Hashem has himself was tithing? He was following his own law from the Torah.
Hashem follows every law in the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't just say to the subjects or to the people, "Do this for your benefit." He follows all of those laws. He always does. That's why we talk in terms of Hashem laying tefillin, because it's a mitzvah. Hashem does mm-hmm. the same thing. Every aspect of what Hashem asks us to do, He does Himself. That is the spiritual law relating to any leader. If a leader is asking the people to do something that the leader is not willing to do, the people will eventually stop doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as the leader does it and then asks that someone else do it, that someone else is going to be ameliorated by the seeing the leader doing that same action that he's asking him to do. It's really a spiritual law. Leaders can mm-hmm. only... It's important that leaders follow that same idea. You don't ask somebody to do something you're not willing to do yourself.
Well, I think when it comes to tithing, we have a tendency, I know I did, to think of it as a human level. And even though I know the principle, it just never registered that Hashem was tithing food. Of course, I knew about the tefillin and all, but it was just a little nugget that surfaced today. A reminder, I guess I should say.
It is a reminder. It's something that mm-hmm. most people don't think about. You know, why should I tithe? Well, because Malchut, the lowest 10%, does not have any light of its own. So the only way you get to keep that lowest 10% is to give it away, to share it away. And then the promise from the Torah and elsewhere is that whatever you share away, that lowest 10 is going to be returned to you.
Mm-hmm.
But that that takes an element of faith. It's not logical. If you give something away, how are you going to get it back? But that's Hashem doesn't follow the rules of logic. He's telling you, if you tithe, you will receive an additional 10%. Whatever you gave away will be returned to you.
My son told me a wonderful story about 2 weeks ago. He had gone to dinner with a friend, and there was, I suppose he was a veteran. He said he was. He was in a wheelchair, and the person in the wheelchair was really crying and fussing that nobody wanted to help him. And he said the friend he brought went on into the restaurant, and he said, "Well, what is it that you need?" He said, "I'm hungry." So he said, "Okay, I'll be right back." Well, he went in and he ordered a hamburger, some fries, and a drink, and he brought it outside to him. And then he went on into the restaurant, and he and his friend ate their dinner, and when they went to check out, the person said, "Someone has already paid for your meal." And, you know, he was kind of surprised, but it wasn't just he and his friend's meal that he had brought, but also the veteran that he had bought the dinner for. But he said he happened to look around, and he noticed his doctor. And it turned out that his doctor comes into the music store, and when the doctor's parents passed away, my son made some copies for him of pictures or music or something, because they were a musical family, and he didn't charge him. And he said when the doctor came back into the music store, he asked him if he was the one that had paid his dinner. And he said, yes, he had. And I thought that was really a wonderful story, you know, because it was give to the veteran, then the doctor gave to him because my son did something for his parents who had passed away. I mean, it was another, you know, it was another example of a righteous act. And
it's an example
I just thought
of
it was a wonderful story.
It's a lovely story. It's a lovely story. It's an example of the circuit of energy of life. How what comes around goes around.
Right.
When you're given the opportunity to share and you do it, it's always going to be returned to you. But people don't see it that way. They want to look at the logic of things. They want to look at the physical effects. And this is what I constantly strive to get across. Get out of the mud. Get out of looking at what's physical and understand the spiritual laws and then apply them in your life. Of course, I'm not very good at creating those examples and explaining those examples, but that's really what everything I'm teaching is trying to get across. Learn the spiritual law and then bring it into your own life. And you'll see the effect.
And I totally agree.
Well, Hashem, thank you for sharing that.
Welcome.
We're almost out of time, so.
Okay.
You have a beautiful evening, and
okay,
I think you're going to enjoy this the class tonight about the
Okay, and what is it?
I didn't look at the next 12 portion to see what's next week. I'm barely up to today. Well,
it's this week. It's Kiddushin. It's a Torah portion for Shabbat.
Okay.
Shalom to
I
all.
Hope to see you tonight. Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you.